In 1995, the president of the World Bank, I think it was, his name is Ismail Serageldin, stated, if the wars of this century were fought over oil, the wars of the next century will be fought over water. Now, pointing out the veracity of Serageldin's claim, Vandana Shiva, in her book Water Wars, highlights a headline from the New York Times in 2001, which stated, for Texas, now water, not oil, is liquid gold. Texas going through some droughts, and it was incredibly difficult for them to procure water. And so despite our rather rainy spring, we continue to see challenges to water everywhere. Texas is in the midst of yet another drought. Water is continually polluted. We dam up rivers to generate electricity and ruin the runs for the salmon that are a natural means of providing nutrients and fertilizers to the mountainous regions. Shiva points out that the scarcity of water has already unleashed conflicts. There are actual traditional wars fought with guns and grenades over water, as well as what she calls paradigmatic wars, conflicts over how we perceive and experience water. In the traditional wars, we might not understand that they are actually over water because they're camouflaged with many other issues. But many conflicts, she points out, are because of the scarcity of resources. She cited a conflict in the 1980s in India that led to over 15,000 deaths. The conflict was painted as a move for Sikh separatism. Basically, they made it a conflict of religion. But the sharing of river water was at the heart of it. For the paradigmatic wars, she points to her experience on a train ride to Jaipur in western India. On the train, everyone bought bottled water, where she claimed that Pepsi's brand of Aquafina was the brand of choice. But on the streets of Jaipur, there was another culture of water going on. During the drought times, and that's most of the time, there were small thatched huts, water temples, Jal Mandirs, that were set up to provide free water to the thirsty. And it follows an ancient practice of Piyaos, providing free water in public spaces. So Shiva, reflecting on this, wrote, this was a clash between two cultures, a culture that sees water as sacred and treats it, its provision as a duty for the preservation of life, and another that sees water as a commodity and its ownership and trade as fundamental corporate rights. The culture of commodification is at war with diverse cultures of sharing, of receiving, and giving water as a free gift. The non-sustainable, non-renewable, and polluting plastic culture is at war with civilizations based on soil and mud and the cultures of renewal and rejuvenation. She further writes that water wars are global, with diverse cultures and ecosystems sharing the universal ethic of water as ecological necessity, pitted against a corporate culture of privatization, greed, and enclosure of the water commons. All of this discussion of water makes me think of the biblical narrative. The biblical narrative is filled with stories of water. God's Spirit broods over the waters at creation. God cleanses the earth through a flood. The Israelites are led through the waters of the Red Sea. Moses rescues Jethro's daughters from shepherds. Jesus walks on water, turns water into wine, has theological conversation with a woman at a well, and he establishes baptism. And in many of these stories, conflict is central. If it's not between two people, it's between God and human beings, God working to wipe out the problem. Jesus brings about water to highlight our cleansing against sin. We think, and talk with confirmation students, we talk with them, we speak about water serving a dual role. It sustains us in life, and it cleanses us. Whether it's the everyday dirt that's cleaned off of us, or if we are speaking of the cleansing of sin provided in baptism, water is crucial. In the midst of everyday life, as we look around, we can see that sin, like a drought or pollution or the twisting of the proper order of things abounds, creating the scarcity out of the abundance that God gives. And it sets us at war with one another. We want what's ours. We fight nation against nation, state against state. Communities and individuals are pitted against one another, all because of what we perceive as a zero-sum game. Scarcity does that to us. If someone else has a resource, it means that we don't. If they have one, we have a lack. This vision drives much of our thinking, our public policy, and our interactions with others. And the resource could be actual natural resources, like water, wind, coal, so on. Or it can be other good gifts that God gives us. Family, sex, occupations, political interactions that we have, and all the more. But we camouflage often the gifts, and we create conflicts, twisting these signs of beneficent providence, of the good gifts that God means for us to use and share as a sign of what God desires for the whole world. And so we hear Jesus today using a rather non-traditional image for the Spirit here, but one that works nonetheless. Jesus cries out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." He says this message on the last and great day of the Festival of Booths, which commemorates the wanderings of Israel in the desert and God's abiding care throughout the whole thing. The Jewish people still commemorate this festival, and it's in the late fall, by constructing sukkahs, impermanent dwellings, and they stay in them. Jesus makes the claim that he is the fulfillment of this festival, that those who abide in him, partake of his life, will be sustained in all things. And the Holy Spirit will create living water gushing forth from those who believe. In the power of the Spirit, flowing out of the waters of baptism, we become sources of life and sustenance and cleansing for this drought-filled and dirty world around us. We can think of ourselves as walking fountains that bring Christ's life to all. Peter's speech in Acts links the sending of the Spirit to Jesus' resurrection. The Holy Spirit unites us to Christ in the waters of baptism, makes the presence of Christ known to us, and makes us bearers not only of the message of Christ, but of Christ himself. To proclaim the gospel is not simply to stand on the street corner and thump a Bible at passersby. No, the proclamation of the gospel is both easier and more difficult at the same time. The proclamation of the gospel and the power of the Spirit is on that day of Pentecost is about making Christ known in ways that others understand. In the fabric of our lives, the Spirit enables and empowers us to use the language of our lives to communicate the gospel. We are his witnesses, but we don't get to just talk. but live the gospel. Those rivers of living water shape us as we engage in the life of the Spirit. It moves us with its eddies and its currents in various things. We heard St. Paul speak about the gifts of the Spirit, the many and various ways that we are all called to bear Christ into the world are wide and varied. Look upon this group and see many who have various ways of making Christ known through our jobs and our occupations, through our ministries, through the various ways that the Spirit has shaped us, the ways we carry Christ into the world. The Spirit twists and turns in us, form us to be a people who make Christ known, who bear the risen Christ into the world. A world where sin has brought about drought and decay. But where the Spirit works through us, that we might bring Christ in the flowing waters of our lives. Thanks be to God.